Welcome to Knotcast, episode 141, Art of the Podcast.
I like to call it LTP, Learn to Podcast.
Yes, and I'm not going to sing, sorry.
You were threatening to?
Well, you know, I did rewrite the first verse of Art of the Dress with Art of the Podcast.
But I saw it on FA.
And people were like, oh my god, you're still going on the ponies. Mike, why? Why?
Because ponies are awesome, that's why.
Fuck the haters.
Fuck the haters. So, this week's topic
they don't have to be part of our herd. They're just flank herd.
Oh.
I'll stop now.
They're just a bunch of blank flanks. So, they didn't find their true calling. So now they're slaves in Celestia's garden, because that's what happened.
Oh, you know, like all the trolls, their cutie marks would literally be a douchebag.
Oh. So, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
It's your turn if you want to admit you're here.
Oh, hi. I'm Cam Hirasaki. Hello.
Crossover!
And I'm Shiva.
Yeah, well,
I don't have hooves. I have adorable webby paws that create magic in writing.
Getting slippery up in
and
here.
And podcasts.
Because, you know, the end of the world is this weekend, we decided to blow the last of our budget and just fly him out here for the show. Just because. We're big ballers. Like
Rapture will happen before this is edited.
I don't know. It'll go out, like, Friday or Saturday before the Rapture.
Dude, I will still be in town for post-Rapture looting.
Fantastic. And see, you know, the event you're going to, no one's going to be missing, so...
No, that's certainly true. For those of you who are up on the crossover here, I'm basically in town because a Star Wars gaming podcast told me to come here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I knew you were going to a gaming thing. I didn't know it was because of a
yes,
podcast.
Yes, out in the not-so-magical land of Denton.
Hey, you know, they filmed Rocky Horror, you know, the magical land of Denton.
No. Did they really?
I don't think so.
Oh.
There's just a sign that points... No, there's a sign that says Denton. And I was like, is it really filmed in Texas? No wonder it's such a weird hellscape. No.
I'm just remembering the bits from RoboCop, where they're like, well, we have to imagine how horrible Detroit will be in the future, so we'll film it in Houston.
Oh my god.
True story.
It's like, wow, you can...
Serious?
Yeah. Like, yeah. They're like... Actual Detroit isn't shitty enough for the future Detroit we want to portray, so we're going to film in Houston.
Jesus. What world were they living in where actual Detroit wasn't shitty enough?
A world where there's also Houston, apparently.
You know, 80s Detroit, 80s Houston. Take your pick. You know,
hurts my head.
They could take a knife, slice off some of the air, and take it home with them.
Yeah.
So yeah, this week's topic is not our usual fare. We're basically we get a lot of emails, not like
how do you podcast? Tons,
like how to podcast, how is podcast form, how internet get podcast,
how is podcast formed,
so
GB2 podcast,
how to make baby podcast.
Podcast
you get
babbies.
A mama podcast and a daddy podcast.
And when they hate each other very much, there's a spinoff.
Actually,
that's how you podcast.
I was going to say, when you get the mama podcast and the papa podcast together, isn't that when you get not sheathed?
Yes. This could be another episode of Not Sheathed.
So actually, yeah. So for people listening who have no idea who I am, there is a podcast called Unsheathed, which is hosted by... well-known furry author Kyle Gold and me, the other guy. It was really amusing. I was actually at Furry Fiesta earlier this year, and I got introduced to somebody as, oh yeah, he's the one who's not Kyle Gold.
No way.
I really did.
Like, in a serious way?
And also, to make it even better, it was to somebody's mom.
Wow.
This is what makes my job as a writer really hard, is I can't make stuff like that up. Nobody would believe it.
Truth is always stranger than fiction. That's fucked up.
But yes, that's me.
He's not Kyle. Oh, yes. that's just...
I'm going to start introducing Saffron as the one that's not Fuzzwolf.
Yeah, and then I'll say that you're the one that's not a Chakat.
He's got the proper number of limbs.
I was gonna say not Fuzzwolf sounds like a muck command. Not Fuzzwolf.
Jesus.
And then you can't leave the room before he does.
You're stuck in this room for at least 20 minutes.
you know what's funny is I my podcast is technically about adult writing, and I'm already like have broken my like filthy reference quota for my own show by now.
Yeah, but it's here, and we don't have a quota.
Hi, this is
we've
not
got
cast.
It under. You know, we have a minimum level to hit.
Okay.
Yeah. It's and a very see, low bar.
With, hot spurting cocks.
With Recky.
You're not nearly there.
With Recky not here, we're going to have to somehow up the racism. I mean.
Okay, so I need hate. Oh, wow.
But it has to be out of context and out of the blue. So we need to get into the show, and then all of a sudden you'll be talking about how, you know, Asians run over dogs. And
the world I live in, I can find something to hate, I'm sure.
Okay.
Which is, where's the world you live
just
in?
Hate on the, you know, river otters or the ocean otters because they're all fat freeloaders that lie on their back and slam rocks. And
did you hear about the story about my con badge?
Yes, I did.
Where, like, halfway, so it's,
well,
it's
this is on your podcast.
Yeah, so. Just real quick. I won't tell the whole story. But basically, touch my badger, and she's going by a different name now. I forget what it is. Mitty. Basically, Kit and Kyle, my podcasting cohorts, you know, got me a con badge at FWA, and it was the whole like basketball thing because we have this whole thing with basketball because we're in with the FWA, not the FBA, sorry, Furry Basketball Association. But anyway,
yeah, I was like, wait a minute,
yeah.
Wow, that story was a slam dunk.
Wow. But no, so like the actual like badge image is me like floating on my back like trying to crack a shellfish open with a basketball, and it's like super cute, and like none of the four of us realize it. It's like, wait, isn't that sea otters and not river otters? Like, oh, like that's the wrong species.
Well, that's why
you're
doing it wrong.
Oh, I certainly do it wrong too. But we're here to tell you how to do it right. Apparently, at least that's what I've been told.
Yes, it's an otter. It's adorable.
Yes.
It's cute. It doesn't matter.
I do cute little people things with my hands.
I was going to comment. It is interesting that at first, Unsheed kind of started as we're going to make all these dick jokes, but then it became pretty much serious writing cast.
we were never about dick jokes. Actually, what's funny is people tell us that, you know, our show really hit our stride when, you know, the two of us sort of started acting like a comedy duo. Like, which we totally do, and I don't think that was ever intentional. I think that's just the rapport that we have, and it's just like, yeah, like you're talking about writing, but like, oh yeah, but like you're almost like a comedy show too. And I'm like, well, thank you. I don't know if that's what we were going for, but
I mean, when Kyle will say something, and you'll be like, that's what she said.
Yeah, so it's the height of my comedy is copying Steve Carell because he's a genius.
Oh my, so. We should probably get to some off-topic emails before we really get into the meat of the episode.
Oh.
Okay.
Mermeat. Oh, yeah.
So just since you've scrolled through the emails, do you want to just take the non-topic ones first and then...
Yeah.
Okay, so just let us know which ones
to read. These guys have a podcast that's way more high-tech than mine. They're paperless and they have... I don't have cans on my own podcast.
You don't have what?
I don't have the cans. Yeah, the
headphones.
Yeah, they come in handy.
We're all high tech.
They are. I mean, we've got like a nice setup, but we don't have the.
I think it's mostly because Panther likes technology.
We don't use the headphones when we do Who First. You've seen my little micro setup.
I have.
It's cute.
It's got plushies.
It's like a baby podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's a podcast.
Well, see, this box right here, we can put everything minus the stands inside it and move and do a show anywhere. It has power.
So not Canada.
No.
No, because, well, apparently Feral is a little light on the electricity. Well,
plus, they might use different voltages or something.
Well, we can do a live show at Okokon and we got power there.
Well, you know, that's Canada's power is in metric, so shit doesn't translate.
What the fuck is a joule?
All right, so next, on to the emails. Topic meeting furs from the same country. Hello, casters of the knot from across the pond. Enough. An anonymous wolf from Finland, waiting for the sake of advice and new perspectives on my situation. So it's off-topic email time. Yay! Without further ado, let's go. I'm starting my alternative service training session in a month at a place about 500 kilometers from my home.
Wow, metric.
During my service training time, I have to attend lectures about society and being a member of the workforce. We have a fair amount of leisure time, and our weekends are completely free. So how does this relate to furry? Well, I'm glad you asked. On the second weekend of my training, there is a first organized, large-scale, three-day fur meet slash furry convention in Finland. About 50 attendees. I know, it's so huge by American standards. The location is about 300 kilometers from the training center, which is about 4 hours of public transportation. The meet is probably a lot like Camp Feral, since we go camping in the forest near a lake and play games and stuff. Oh, watch out for the moose. Traveling shouldn't be an issue for me, except for the fairly tight schedule. My problem lies within people, as it so often does. I am 18, and I doubt I could avoid being asked by my parents what I'm doing on a certain free weekend. Coming home, staying at the training center, or... well, I'm not out as a furry or bye to my parents, since they think it's irrelevant to their lives. Good idea. Also, they would probably mention furry to my older siblings, and they know how to use the internet. I'd like to avoid that drama.
Learn to internet.
I'm also a bit nervous about attending the FinFur Summer Camp 2011, since I don't really know any Finnish furs. I've looked at local furry forums and chat rooms, and everybody seems really nice, at least on the screen. I'm a teetotaler and sometimes shy when meeting new people, like about 98% of the population, and I really want to meet other furs in real life and make friends with them, but I'm nervous. Most of all, I would like to have fun and get to know similarly minded people. As a slight minus, I'd probably have to camp in a tent for 2 nights at the meet for lack of housing, and I've never camped outdoors before. So what do you think I should do about going to the fur meet? I've thought of possible scenarios and consequences. I tell my parents what I'm doing and why. They'd probably try to talk me out of going to meet complete strangers. As an ace in the sleeve, they would call my brother. He has a way of almost always getting me what to do, what he wants or sees best. He'd probably scowl, frown, or be evilly bemused at me being a furry. I love my brother, and it would be truly painful to lose his respect. So basically, I'm scared of my brother's reaction. 2. I joke about doing something really weird, like going to harpoon whales with daffodils at the nearby pond. If I were prompted, I'd tell them it's my choice of what I'm going to do with my free time, and that I'd like to practice my own independence. I think I could pull this off. I expect my parents to still badger me about what I did with my free time, and there's always the brother ace up their sleeves.
Whaler's gonna whale.
I hint that I'm staying at the training center. Maybe too close to a lie. I wouldn't like to build my relationship on loose truths nor lies. Or 4, I don't go to the meet. I probably regret this, at least the complicated path, though nothing worth having is easy. It's the least complicated path. The time of the meet is also quite ideal, since it's when I don't have my parents standing right next to me. The next possible chance for something similar would be for me, well, I'd say in about 2 years. 5? Question mark. 6? Profit.
Profit. You read my mind.
So, the gist of my problem, fur meet, yes or no? What to tell the people close to me? I don't know any local furs personally. Eep. The high probability of camping in a tent, is it worth it? What are your experiences in similar situations? An anonymous Finnish wolf. P.S. Great podcast, great people, great lols. I often have to stop listening to your podcast in public to avoid awkward conversations about why I suddenly burst out laughing. Smiley face.
Well, thank you for the compliments on my podcast. Wait.
We're not talking about your podcast, Cam.
Sorry.
So,
but I think we have a lot of crossover listeners.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of have to. So.
Camping in a tent isn't that bad. I mean.
Yeah, I've done it.
I wouldn't let that be the deal breaker on whether to go to the meet or not.
I went camping. I was a weeblo.
Oh, so was I.
Yeah.
God, this explains so much about my later life.
I know, right? I was just going to say that.
Because we blow.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Fist bump.
But yeah, honestly, I think the real deciding factor here is like how close you are with your parents and how much say they have over what you can and can't do.
I tend to agree.
I think I'd just tell them I'm going on this camping trip with some friends or from some folks I know on the internet, and they, you don't need to go too deep into the detail about it's a furry thing or anything like that. Just because you can kind of lie about the specific genre of the weirdness and just sort of keep the general truth whole. Like when I'm at work, I'm like, I'm going to a sci-fi con or I'm going to a comic convention. I'm not selling porn at a furry convention.
Which is probably a good thing to keep close.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell them you're like going to go see like Nightwish and Sonata Arctica. You know, all that devil music the kids are listening to now.
No, they're going to go to the Fentrol.
Oh, God.
Korpiklani.
I don't know what any of these things are.
They're awesome music is what they are.
Yes, because Scandinavia makes the best music.
They really do.
Never heard any.
Well, I've only heard Nightwish and made fun of it when we were driving. What con were we going to?
It was,
And I was like, I'm sucking on this car!
I think it was an MFM.
Yeah. They kicked her out of the band, like I was telling you on the way over.
Yeah.
Now they have a new singer.
They replaced her with a Swede.
Biracial.
Who is not a... There we go, there's the racism. I brought racism to your podcast.
Oh my God, a Swede.
A Swede, and she's not a professional opera singer like Tarja was.
Oh.
All right, before we get off on Nightwish, and let's go back to this poor anonymous wolf's question. Honestly, the thing to worry about the least in this case is actually being at the camp and meeting new people. That should be the fun part of it. And that's something you should look forward to. I mean, I know I was certainly scared when I went to my first furry gathering, which in my case was Anthrocon.
Oh my.
Which, granted, wasn't nearly as big then as it is now. Great Muslim moment. But it was still the biggest thing of its time, though. This was back when it was like 1,100 people.
Back in
the Adams Mark.
The back of the Adams Mark, yes.
Yeah, that was my first con as well.
I had a panic attack.
When did you go?
This would have been 2002.
Mine was 2004.
You went the year after I did.
2004 was my first AC as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was
back when Tigerden still had those green and black telnet machines with Grover. Wow. There was that terrible restaurant in the Denny's next door that wouldn't serve furries.
Yeah.
Except they did.
It was sort of like
the 04 thing where they said, oh, Denny's isn't serving furries. It was all a big lie. And basically, like, every year, like, the furries all rush Denny's. It's like, well, the joke's on you because, A, what you heard wasn't true, and B, now you're stuck eating Denny's to make a point that doesn't need to be made.
Oh, well.
But, well, that hotel Denny's got torn down, and
nobody
shall ever darken his doorstep again.
I think the Denny's is in the Fridays got destroyed as well.
No, there was a Fridays, and then there was a Houlihan's across the street.
Because they bought, like, Target bought, like, that whole chunk of land there to build, like, a big headquarters building
or something like that. Not even, like, a mega Target, just, like, an office thing?
I think so. I think that's the case, and I think they took out the two restaurants.
Well, then where did the Target people eat? Well, no, I was going to say, actually, without the hotel, like, there's no reason for the restaurants to be there, because there was nothing in that part of town.
Yeah.
It was, like, kind of a really crummy location.
So Finnish guy, don't go to Anthrocon 2004.
Yeah.
don't use your TARDIS.
Don't go time traveling.
If you do go to the meet, you know, just kind of read up on, you know, camping and what to bring. You know, is there going to be transportation to a nearby town? Are you going to have to supply your own food?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are important considerations. Water availability.
Toilet paper.
I don't think that furries are too keen on primitive camping, but you never know, and it's good to be prepared.
Toilet paper.
Yeah, yeah. TP is important. Bring a roll.
They do have a website, so which I know he'll know about because he linked us to the
Wiki for an article. Need.
Oh, dear. I was going to look on the website, but it's in Finnish.
No, I'm sorry.
That's Swedish and also racist. So, I love that it's called Finn for a Summer Camp in English, and then the whole rest of the website is in Swedish.
I wonder if they have an English link.
If it's specifically for Finnish people in Finland, I doubt it.
Yeah.
For Finns by Finns. Finvers first.
So, I mean, they're all like sharks.
I was thinking the
Finvers first. Finvers first. I'm going to the Finn furry.
Anyways.
Fuck a half.
No, no.
But yeah, I mean, don't make a big deal out of what the shared hobby is with these people to your parents. Just be like, yeah. There's some people that I know. They seem kind of cool. We're going to go camping. And that's really probably the best terms to couch it in.
And after that, just, you know, I would also advise, like, if there is, like, a Finish First forum or chat room or anything like that, that you get to know some of the folks that are going to the con beforehand and maybe have a couple of people that you want to hang out with set up in advance so that, you know, you can meet a couple people and then they can introduce you to a couple more people. Yeah. And then you got like a
also network, maybe ask, does anyone else but me have no idea how to go camping? That might also be a good thing to know.
It's honestly, most furs are like geeks, so I imagine there's a lot of furries that are not big onto camping. Like, I go to Oklacon, I always get a cabin, which has, like, dish network and heating, and, you know, it ain't roughing it at all, so.
Yeah.
You won't be the only one that's not all that familiar with camping. So which one should we read next, Savern?
Let's see. Quit looking at furry porn for a minute. Okay, well, this one from, with the fantastic title of Lynch 'em Queers, Why America Hates Gays.
Okay, yes, I'll read that. You want to go into
the story? Did Michelle Bachman send us a letter?
No, this is just someone just sort of going on about...
Oh, it's a wall of text in wall format.
Not really. It's
okay.
There's a paragraph.
There is a paragraph break, and it's properly indented. And yeah, it's actually well written and has punctuation.
I'm totally down with this. Okay. Lynch 'em Queers, that's why America hates gays. America, fuck yeah. Dear Notcast, about 2 weeks back, a listener wrote in inquiring why gays are met with much greater resistance by social. But I'm already fucking, damn it, because she was looking at me. She's giving me her tongue disease. By society than lesbians do. Being the scholarly gentleman and lady, I thought you might be interested in more academic consideration of the subject. Much of the differential between anti-gay and anti-lesbian sentiment can be found in Sedgwick's model of the homosocial. Sorry.
Is that like the dance that junior high throws for the gay kids?
Well, you don't get a prom, you get a homosocial. Yeah. Sorry, I'm sure it's a real word, but I don't know.
I've been named the homecoming drag queen.
It's a really obscure word. You probably haven't heard of it. The homosocial, in short, is...
Y'all are such children.
Welcome to Douchebag Hipster Cast.
This is a podcast. We don't call it a podcast because iPods are too mainstream.
You're all sheeple for buying into Steve Jobs.
No, there was a not podcast years ago that ran for like 3 episodes. And in the first episode, the host tells his co-host, this is an internet radio show. We don't call it a podcast because I don't like Apple because they're... And I'm like, oh, you fucking tool.
Just use the nomenclature you decided upon by the internet at large. It makes it easier.
And we met that guy at MFM, and he was dumb as a bag of hammers. But on to the email. The homosocial, in short, is the spectrum of relationships from non-homosexual to homosexual among men or among women. Although a whole gamut of relations exist, men have a broken spectrum where one either falls into the non-homosexual, i.e. bros, and the homosexual, without any intermediary relationships. Since the spectrum is broken in such a manner, why or how it became so is an ongoing question, the way in which men truly identify themselves is by their relationships with women. One's masculinity is measured entirely by one's standing with the ladies and how deep his penetration is. And in modern society, masculinity is a measure of one's power. Bros provide a great example of how this works. Many of the interactions among bro tend to seem gay, yet aren't considered gay by society, such as bro jobs.
I was just going to say.
This fact is only true because bros are constantly, in an almost compensating way, chasing after women. If someone is gay, they fail to be masculine according to the system. For a straight man, having a relationship, even a platonic one, is the same as having a gay relationship, which would make them non-masculine. Thus, straight men distance themselves in the furthest way possible through homophobia from gays. Where exactly do lesbians fall into this scheme? To put it shortly, because we live in a patriarchal society where men control the power, women are subjugated to the role of desired objects. Since women have a lower standing than men, women are allowed to exhibit the entire gambit of homosocial relationships without threatening the male order. This is not only why women are allowed to do such things as smell each other's hair without seeming remotely gay while males can't, but also why lesbians are treated less harshly by society than gays. That being said, even within the queer community, men still hold much of the power. This is why, although the word gay is a colloquialism, also known as slang for gay, okay. The term gay refers only to men. In fact, in order to use the term for women, one must say gay women as opposed to just gays. What does Notcast think of this? As bisexual individuals, how do you feel you fit or don't fit into this system? If you don't feel like reading this on air, it's quite lengthy and probably not exactly a typical email. At least email your thoughts. Till next time, that Arctic Snow Fox from Austin, Snow. Postscript. For those wondering if this was a case of angry feminism, I'm a gay man, so no.
Well, alrighty then.
So just real quick, am I the only non-bisexual person here?
Yeah.
You queer.
I'm a homo.
You big ol' homo.
I'm not even a bromo.
Damn.
Oh, where's Donryu when I need him? He'll back me up.
I bet he will.
Oh! No, Donryu would totally let me top him.
The more you know. So, this is actually a really interesting email and really well written. So, thank you for sending it in.
I apologize for calling you a wall of text. I just saw the formatting on Fuzz's screen, and it looked more wall of texty than it was.
When it's in landscape, it looks small and wallish, but yeah, when you see it normal size, which is the nice thing about the iPad is it's roughly the size of a piece of paper when you see it on screen like that. So.
Yeah. Well, speaking personally, within this particular system that you put forth, I fall probably more onto the homosexual side. As I'm, you know, I do get close to my friends, and a lot of my interactions would be seen as gay.
Welcome to my side of the fence, Severin. It's good to have you over here.
By getting close to your friends, you mean 6 inches or less, right? Within range.
Well, I mean, emotionally, socially, relationship-wise, I like dudes.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I won't bone both. So that is the.
So if you're my friend, watch your ass.
No,
I've only ever banged women in very confusing dreams.
Make you question your sexuality.
I kind of make it a point to not bang my friends, just because they're my friends first. Then they don't get to be banged.
So this just in: if you're fucking Savern, he hates you.
No.
You're not my friend. You're just a sweet piece of ass.
Well, okay.
I'm back it up for Papa Severin. Sorry.
Aw, yeah. That's really not what I meant at all.
Okay. Please go on, Severin.
Bitches and horse.
Basically, it's with me, it's like if, you know, I've been friends with someone for a certain period of time, they fall off that radar.
Yeah, I can
and, feel you there. But awkward. If you haven't been friends very long, you can explore that avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So with most of my friends, that's completely off the table. So sorry, you know,
they fall into the friend zone.
Yes, yeah. They've fallen into permanent friend zone.
It would queer it a friendship.
See, for me, it depends on the friend, and I haven't figured out what the determining factors are. For some people, it's like, oh, no, we're friends. That'd be weird. And for some reason, it's like, oh, yeah, we're friends. It's no big deal. Let's do it. And, like, I don't know what changes it. I've tried to figure it out, and I just figured, like, you know what? I just sort of go with my instincts on it.
Well, see, like, I'll joke about it, you know. Your mate will, you know, say all sorts of things, and I'm like, all right. But it's always joking around, never acted on. But I could, you know, totally see that happening at some point.
No, wait.
So what? If anyone wants to commission a picture of Saverin and Tyrion and give it to Fuzz for his birthday.
Thanks, guys. Where am I? You're in the corner, off screen, crying.
Yeah. While masturbating.
This is hot.
I thought only other people's tears were meant to be used as the sweetest lube. Well, I am horrible tonight. Please keep going. Let's get back to this wonderful, like, crafted email.
Thanks, guys. This isn't awkward to fat to at all.
I can't clop to this.
But I do see the point, though, that, yeah, among... I personally could not relate to the male side of the, you know, heterosexual side of the homosocial interaction thing.
Mm-hmm.
That seems really foreign to me, because I've never, ever been the kind of, like, check that out.
You know, I think it seems foreign to me because I'm a geek, and I've never been that frat boy, jock, bro...
Yeah, that's true, too.
...kind of guy. That's a... total invention of society.
Yeah. Well, it's like you see those people that really make you go, oh, yeah. The last person that made me do that was fucking the guy playing Thor in the movie Thor when he had his shirt off, and I was like,
yeah, the god of
the god of
pecs. I don't know. I will throw out a shout out for Fandral too. God of supernaturally perfect hair.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
He's the Errol Flynn looking guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's pretty.
He's all pretty,
like, but... As soon as you said the Errol Flynn was, like, okay, know what you're talking about.
No, Thor, god of abs and pecs, and I bet that ass, but you can't see.
You know, he was the dude that played Kirk's dad in the remake of Star Trek.
Really?
Yep. He just didn't have the beard, so different.
Bulked the fuck up, then.
Yeah
he
bulked. He looked like a Norse god. Like,
yeah.
Whoa. You also only saw him for, like, 10 minutes in Trek before he got blowed up.
Oh, true enough. So...
with the captain of the USS Kelvin.
So there's my answer, and I think Fuzz's answer. What about you, Shiva?
Where do I fall on the spectrum?
Well, you're a chick, so...
I was going to say, I didn't think I applied.
You're a girl. Sexual.
You're a girl. Ew.
Yeah, basically.
You're vagisexual.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't think that this discussion applied to me, but okay.
Oh. Well, because you're subjugated.
Well, no, yeah. like where do you feel on this whole, like, hey, girls can be affectionate without being quote-unquote gay?
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely there.
He nailed it on the head there. I mean, we're allowed to be a lot more touchy, lots more feely.
Touchy.
You run off to the bathroom together.
Yeah.
What are you
doing? The only time guys ever run off to the bathroom together if one of them is going to blow the other one. Like.
Well, you would know, wouldn't you?
Usually,
wow! Hot bathroom sex in the bathroom of the gas station.
I almost wrote that story once. Anyway, oh God, no! I said almost.
Yeah.
Talk on the way in. Talk while they're in there. Talk on the way out. It's not really. You're just walking into another room. It's not a big deal.
Now, see, you know, that would be if you're trying to write, you know, Republican fiction. If you're the anonymous bathroom tryst at a truck stop.
So, real quick, do women know about urinal etiquette for men?
Only from watching, like, nighttime TV.
Because it's, like, a real thing. Well, you don't look, and, like which urinals are acceptable to use depend on which ones are already taken.
There's a chart.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yes.
And we, like, nobody tells. It's like animal instinctual behavior. We just know.
The thing is, it's the same thing. Girls' bathrooms tend to have more stalls. You know. It's the same thing in the girls' bathroom. You try not to use the one immediately next to someone.
But aren't you still talking?
Yeah. So you're yelling out. Yeah, you're just ignoring everything else.
Man. But yeah, dudes, you know, stare straight ahead. You take the first or the last one, and then the next person comes in will take the furthest one away, and then the other person has to pick one, at least one separate from the person.
Yeah, you try to split the difference, and then it's awkward if you have to stand.
And if you have to stand as someone, you stand straight ahead and really read that.
If you have a choice between standing next to a big dude and a short dude, you stand next to the short dude.
It's like this, you know, ingrained ritual that everybody learns.
Wait, why do you stand next to the short dude? So the tall dude can't see your junk?
No, just because, like, if you're gonna, like, you know, be all, like, tempted to be super gay, you're gonna look at the buff one.
Oh,
well, okay. At Okacon, do they have the short stalls in the guys?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Same thing happens in there as at you guys' urinals. People go as far as fuck apart as Because, you know, you just see a whole bunch of girls sitting there with their heads tucked down, trying not to be seen over the partition.
Don't look at me, I'm peeing.
Yeah, basically.
You put on your bathroom burka so nobody can tell who you are.
It's just so you can just kind of all sit down. It's like, don't notice what I'm doing. I'm not here.
So, to explain to Cam, since he hasn't been to OkuCon, in the summer, it's like a kid's summer camp, so everything is kid size. So the stall walls come up out here.
Oh God, really?
Well, no. It's also for supervision, so the counselors can come in, do a quick glance, and make sure that nobody's doing something that they shouldn't.
Having gay sex in the shower stall, smoking weed,
shooting up,
smoking gay weed in the stall shower. You know,
it's kind of prevention of privacy, and it's
somebody not reading their Bible.
Yeah, it's not that it's kid size; it's that it's supervision by camp counselors.
Welcome to Oklahoma.
No, I ran into other summer camps. It's not just Oklahoma, so
Oklahoma.
I hate it.
Well, see, no, when I went to church camp in my teens, they had the full stalls and everything.
Well, this is usually done by like
Girl Scouts. You know,
but then when you close the door to the stall, there's a poster there that says "Jesus can see you masturbate."
Well, see, that was when I would aim for his face.
Oh my God! Why did I leave you that opening?
Oh, suffer! Oh, suffer the little children come unto me.
Oh my God!
Oh,
you're not going anywhere this weekend, are you?
But so,
no, I'll be right here.
I mean, this is obviously a societal and social issue that has been debated for a long time and will be, you know, for some time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, people have written books and books and books about this, but these are interesting things to consider. And yeah, I agree with Shiva that in a lot of things, you've really hit the nail right on the head with the sort of societal preconceptions.
Yeah, I mean, it's bullshit, but it's the way our society works, and you laid it out pretty much the way it is.
The times, they are a-changing. Not as fast as we might like.
Well, hell, think about, you know, the various sports figures that have all come out this week.
Yeah.
Like, the closet door got kicked open by one dude, and everyone's, like, creeping out.
Ooh, I missed it.
The owner and general manager of the Phoenix Suns is like,
yeah,
by the way, I'm gay. And everyone's like, okay, cool.
Huh. And I think it was Charles Barkley had a quote where it's just like, oh, it's like the media saying like, oh, like we wouldn't be able to handle like a gay like teammate. It's like, no, like we wouldn't be able to handle it if you suck.
it would be.
It's like, can you play the game? That's all we care
about.
It's
like, we don't
care.
Charles
Barkley said that, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And he's like, I've played with gay people. I know they're there. And if you think you haven't played with a gay person, you're tarred.
Awesome. That's cool.
And so,
because like, he's like a really top-tier athlete. I mean, even I don't follow sports at all, and I know who Charles Barkley is.
Yeah, he was a really big deal in the 90s and stuff. So, I mean, he's a well-respected guy.
But he does not do the Science Says segments.
Yeah.
We do the Science Says segments.
That's so funny, because the next email is about Silent Bob.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's hit those next two real quick. Okay. I'll let, you know, Cam read them, because right.
This is like
short.
A super short
I look
one.
Enough like Silent Bob. Hey, Notcasters. LT again sending a quick comment. I'm not sure how much Recky hears this, but he sounds a lot like director Kevin Smith over the radio. Wow, so like, I'm like replacement Recky, so I don't sound like him, but I look like him. What do you guys and gals think? Cheers, loving Tiger.
Loving you. I don't listen to Kevin enough. But cool.
My roommate listens to his podcast, and I can kind of see it.
I'm like so
Kevin,
far
Kevin
beyond.
Smith is full of far less hate and rage.
Yeah. Well, see, no, see, Recky is Kevin without the weed.
Oh my God! Like Kevin Smith, like went from stoner to super stoner.
No, he went from zero to super stoner because he was like sober for years, and then he just tried weed, and he's like, this shit's really good. And now he's like weed guy. But his podcasts are really funny.
did you hear the one where he was talking about like his he got like really baked and then like watched Mallrats?
Oh my God.
And, like, was taking like writing his own comments on Mallrats while stoned.
There is no truth in Mallrats.
And like he's like I woke up the next morning and it's like I had like a special message for regular Kev left to me by stoner Kev.
No. The first I remember the very first part of it. Let me just share it with you guys. It's fucking hilarious. And he's talking about how much more effective the opening scene would be if, as way of apology, the guy just... If T.S. just intently starts eating her pussy. And then in the background, a dragon flies past. It's just like, what?
I want to know where he's getting his weed, because that sounds like, wow, that's not just like the cheap stuff. That's the expensive I make movies weed, apparently.
He can afford the good shit, yeah. I'm sure. If he can't afford it, I'm sure somebody would find it. Give it to him for free. There's enough families to provide.
This is for that Superman movie you almost had to make. This will help you forget all about it.
With the mechanical spider.
Yeah.
What?
We'll have to show you.
That's a long story, but it is legendary.
It takes him like 2 hours to tell that. It's funny because he'll do an evening with, and he'll take like 2 questions, and the show will be 4 hours long.
Yeah. We'll explain later because... we'll explain later. Yeah.
Because okay. This is not an evening with Kevin Smith. I suggest you go to Walmart and buy it.
It's evening with... I can't believe it's not Ricky.
So, just want to hit the next email real quick, just because they're both really, really, really short.
Cool.
You get to read 2 emails in quick succession.
All right, double teaming him.
You have to.
Did you want him to read this?
Or Shiva can do it, either way.
Yeah.
It was the show well done.
Okay.
Real short one.
Let's see. I must compliment you guys, well, mostly Panther for this, because you guys have a really fantastically well-produced show. The audio is crisp and clear, and it's all really well put together. And, of course, kudos to the talents. Fuzz, Recky, Savrin, Shiva. Sorry if I fudged the spelling. You didn't.
Which is amazing. So first person's actually written all of our names in an email and not fucked one of them.
Wow, did they even spell Panther right?
Yeah. And, of course, the token females.
P-A-N-F-U-R-R.
We're called patterns.
You all deserve some serious professional points on the quality. The content, on the other hand, XD. Best regards, Jeffrey Wolf.
Yeah.
Well, Panther can't do anything about the content as much as he's throwing stuff at us.
But that's a real backhanded compliment. Like, you guys sound great. It's too bad you don't have anything worth saying.
Well, we just... are very unprofessional in our speech on occasion.
I am certainly not helping with the ramble cast tonight, I realize.
It's all good. So what's good is we have the long emails that, you know, broke a lot of discussion. Then we have the just quickies. And actually, I'm the person who does all the production. Panther uploads it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the baton has passed.
Panther has become obsolete.
No, Panther's still a vital member of this team, but I do all the editing and stuff, and really there's not a lot of editing done to the show.
Panther's job has been outsourced to the deserts of northern Africa.
Yes, you know, they discovered that Phoenix could do it for, you know, a couple scorpions on the dollar.
Oh, wow. That takes some talent.
Oh, thank you. I do lots of things like that with my mouth.
Okay.
I mean, that's going to blow a job with that much tooth action.
I don't know, unless your penis is hidden behind a carapace, I'm not sure that,
you know, if I was Colossus, that'd be kind of hot.
Clang, 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 clang.
Everyone would know. You'd have to get those metal teeth like Jaws has in James Bond.
Oh my.
Imagine Jaws giving Colossus a blowjob.
But clank.
But Jaws eventually finds true love with a girl at the end of one of the movies.
It's so hot because sparks would fly. I've got a new original pair or whatever that term
OTP,
is.
OTP, one-true pairing.
One-true pairing.
Down, God.
Down with OTP.
All right, so next email. That's mine.
Okay.
This one's titled, Off Topic Shit. Okay. Hello there, Notcasters. This is most likely an off-topic email, as I'm getting very caught up at uni and losing track of episodes, as well as the days of the week, due dates, and people's names. But I can't organize my otherwise incoherent thoughts just long enough to tell you that I am male, gay, and 23. I'm writing to you about an interesting situation involving a necklace. The story starts back in August when I met my now boyfriend at uni. We shall call him Bear. We started dating in October and are still happily together. Around November, he gave me his necklace in one of those squishy new love moments. It was very romantic, and I have been wearing it ever since. Fast forward to March this year, the beginning of the uni semester. The queer space is a social room for gays and whatnot, and is where me, Bear, and a lot of our friends hang out. But this year, one of Bear's ex-boyfriends had started hanging out there as well. We shall call him Fox. I don't have a problem with Fox. I didn't know him at all, and he and Bear had broken up almost a year previously. Plus, he was a furry. How bad could that be? Well, it turned out Fox here. Dun, dun, dun. Well, it turned out Fox did have a problem with Bear and I. Fox completely ignored me and barely made eye contact, and the only time he spoke to Bear was to make nasty jabs or backhanded compliments. I guessed he was still bitter about the relationship for some reason. I asked Bear about it, and he replied it wasn't a particularly great time. During the week-long relationship, Fox was over-emotional and delivered many backhanded compliments, often trying to change how Bear dressed and acted. But apparently Fox was taking some sort of antidepressants during the time, so that could explain his assholish behavior. But then when Bear met Fox's parents, they did not like him, calling him loud and obnoxious. And so Fox dumped him. My Bear is often loud and excited, but friendly and very kind, not obnoxious. Back to the present. I put up with Fox because Bear seemed to be able to tolerate him, and the queer space is a safe place for people, with both me and Fox sharing many mutual friends who hang out there. But one day, about 2 months ago, Fox mentions the necklace I'm wearing, the one Bear gave me last year. It turns out Fox originally gave the necklace to Bear when they were dating a year ago. As you can imagine, the awkwardness made her overloaded. Being a very kind but sometimes absent-minded Bear, my boyfriend had completely forgotten the origins of the necklace and only really knew that he wore it all the time and that it meant something to him. He did not purposely pass it on to me. Bear responded in a mix of laughter and apologies, calling himself a doofus. I didn't know what to do, so I just stood there and giggled. Fox, however, did not take the situation so lightly. When Bear apologized about 100 times despite the laughter and asked if everything was okay between them, Fox said, no, it's not. With awkwardness meters surging yet again, Bear and I left the room and went home. That night, I thought about the situation and figured I didn't care where it came from or that Bear had forgotten himself. He had given me the necklace because he loved me and I was going to wear the damn thing. Plus, it looks pretty darn good on me. The weeks went by, and Fox continued to be sour to us, but we just ignored him. I tried to be friendly to him, saying hello and goodbye at the very least. The necklace really didn't come up again until last week when I ran into Fox at the uni bar. He was quite drunk. I had just come from a class, but it seemed he had been there for some time. He looked at me and said, "I know I'm drunk, but can you at least hide it? It's really painful for me." I told him, "No, I appreciate where it comes from, but Bear gave it to me because he loves me, and I will wear it with pride." He scoffed at the last part. I told him, "You're drunk, forget about it," and tried to enjoy the night off. But the night stayed rather awkward, with Fox looking mopey the entire night, at some points covering his face with his jumper. I just tried to avoid him, but the bar is quite small. Plus, there was another guy, completely unrelated to the story, who I think is the douchiest bag to ever bag a douche, who just seemed to want to piss me off. Needless to say, I left early. And now I come to my point. I barely know Fox, except that he is a fellow furry and dated my boyfriend at one point. As far as I know, I've given him no reason to hate me, as we have hardly exchanged words. I owe him no favors and share no personal history with him. He has given me reasons to hate him, as he likes to insult my boyfriend, but Bear is easily able to take it in stride. What do I do with the necklace? I want to keep wearing it as it does mean something to me, but I fully understand where Fox is coming from. Is Fox an overreacting whiner, or am I a massive cunt? What is your opinion on this whole situation? This probably qualifies as a wall of text. My bad, from Anonymous. P.S. Savern has been reading emails very fast in recent months, so fast it's sometimes hard to understand what he is saying. Please slow down so that the listeners can properly enjoy your sexy, dulcet tones.
Is because scorpion venom is a stimulant and...
Yeah, I've not had my scorpions, so I'm taking my time with your letter, dear Anonymous. So, what do y'all think?
I think this is pretty simple. Wear the necklace and, like, just ignore this guy. Like, don't associate with him. Don't try to be his friend. I mean, he's the bitter ex. He has a beef with you. He has a beef with the guy you're currently dating. Mm-hmm. No good can come of this, and he's demonstrated on several occasions that he's not interested in trying to play nice. So, yeah, like, don't associate with him at all anymore. And that's pretty much end of story, really, for me.
I'm going to suggest a slight change of wardrobe. That you keep wearing the necklace, but you also add a pair of sunglasses and a t-shirt that says deal with it.
I'm a little bit... I would say that it would be perfectly respectable for if you run into Fox, if he asks you to put it away, you do. I mean, honestly, if I gave somebody something and then I turn around and see them later on give it to somebody else, that is really kind of a faux pas, and I would personally be rather pissed. I didn't give it to you to give it away. It doesn't matter if you forgot. It was a gift to you, not to, you know. So I can understand what Fox is.
Yeah, there's definitely awkwardness with re-gifting a romantic gift.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why I just said, like, just try to avoid this guy. You don't need to worry about where you wear the necklace.
I would have put it away the night that he asked you to because he was all fucked up anyway, just as sort of a good faith gesture. But the rest of the time, I wouldn't consider that you really have to go out of your way to appease this guy.
Alcohol plus ex-boyfriend's new flame plus being in a bad mood already equals nothing good can come of this.
Yes.
And I think he made the right call just leaving the bar early.
As you said, you owe him no favors. And just because he's a furry doesn't mean he needs to be your friend. I agree with KM here that, you know, you don't really need to associate with him.
Yeah.
And he is definitely playing the bitter ex card. But it's been a year, and according to your email, they didn't even date that long. So, it's the necklace. And
yeah. This is as bad as...
That's OMG move on. It was a week.
Yeah.
This is as bad as that story about the dude that moved to Australia, I think it was. And no, this other guy is courting this guy, and he's been at it for 8 years.
Yeah.
Clearly, there's a point where you need to...
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah. Clearly, there's a point where you need to let go. And this dude is still pining over Bear when they dated for a week, and he dumped Bear. So, fuck this guy. He needs to get over it.
He's probably more of the, well, I'm not happy, so he can't be happy.
Yeah. Also, it sounds like you're college-age people. You know what? In 3 years, none of you will, well, hopefully you and your boyfriend, but, like, this person will go his way, you'll go your way, and you'll probably never run into him again anyway.
Yeah, I mean, be cordial, don't be mean. Ignore him, but don't try to be friendly. But if he's having a rotten night, put away the necklace.
Yeah, or like go somewhere where he doesn't have to look at it at the very least.
He does need to get over it, but you also don't need to salt the wound.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Okay.
So next one we should read is probably just the Borders, Fermi, date, time, etc. update. Okay. And then we will go to break.
All right. I'll read this since I actually, I'll read it because he says it in here. Okay. Borders, Fermi, date, time, etc. Fuzzwolf wanted me to write in with the full info so it could be added to the show notes. And we'll go ahead and read it out anyway, just in case people don't check that. Borders Express, Crystal Mall, 850 Hartford Turnpike, Waterford, Connecticut, 06385 is the address. The next meet there is Friday, June the 10th, starting at 5 p.m. For those who don't remember, this is the store that I mentioned has ordered... books from both For Planet and Soulwolf. So there's actually furry books on the shelf. Furry books have their own little end cap display. It's actually been really cool to know that the books that we're publishing are actually
real books. I've been watching him on Twitter. He's apparently really good at selling them too.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I noticed that. And he's had to reorder from me, so yay. And I'm definitely happy to support this idea. So that's why we're kind of giving him a couple shout-outs here on the podcast, that if you're in that northeasterly area and can get to Waterford, Connecticut, then I would definitely go check out the meet.
So it's like, if you live in Connecticut, my sympathies. If you live in Massachusetts, I can reach Connecticut.
Well, I used to live in Connecticut, actually, not really? Far from here. Yeah, when I was a wee bairn, and I was a Navy brat.
Back when you were a wee blow?
Yeah, back when I was a wee blow.
Wow.
I lived in Connecticut. I lived in Groton, which is where the Navy base is.
Yeah.
And the Crystal Mall was, I think, like an... At the time, I remember, I think it was like an hour and a half away. It might not have been when I was a kid. But it was like the closest freaking mall to this tiny little Navy town. So that's why I never got to see any movies or anything, because the mall was like that far away.
Yeah, things are probably different. Waterford's now a really weird looking city, too.
It's not that bad.
Well, I know, it definitely has that colonial look to it, where it's just like, and we built a highway through it.
Yeah, the thing is, I love that area of the country. I mean, it's where I'm from, but mm-hmm. I mean,
all right, represent.
Well, I was born in Mass, lived the first part of my childhood down there, so not there far from Waterford. I've been there multiple times, and so I just love the whole old house looks, yeah. The colony. I love Boston. I love the way, even if it looks run down a little shabby, I love the way Boston looks.
Yeah, no thanks to the Big Dig.
No, well, God, mm-hmm. How long has that fucking thing been going on?
Oh, they finally finished it. Like 2 or 3 years ago.
No, see, when I was in high school, I used to go, no, just after high school, I used to drive down to Boston to spend time with friends down there. So I had this very path of where I'd park my car, hop on the T, get off at the certain state. We'd have this path where we'd go to like bookshops and such up by Harvard. So we had this, there were some subway stations I knew intimately. And so they just started the Big Dig and they had torn apart the stations.
Yeah.
And I went back, I don't know, it had to have been like almost 10 years later. And I went down into the same subway stations because I knew where to park to pick up things. And I went to the same goddamn subway station and the same temporary plaster was up on the wall. It just looked 10 years older, grayer, yeah. Browner.
The Big Dig was a nightmare.
And it's like, this place hasn't, it's still a hole, except all the construction stuff now looks shitty because it wasn't meant to be up for 10 years.
Yeah, and then right before it was finished, it killed someone.
So, God, I hated that. That was a nightmare for so many years.
Welcome to Boston Cast.
Sorry, it was.
No, it's cool. I'm just messing.
It was my city before I moved to Dallas. So.
And I'm just like Northeasterners, you damn Yankees.
And I'm proud from of
Texas.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get your complimentary gun when you live in Connecticut.
No,
you get a musket.
I mean, that comes.
I'm gonna be a minute man.
Fucking represent colonial style, bitches.
No, you're British? You, bring it.
You try to fire a flintlock gangsta style and blow your head off. Oh.
I hear all this fucking Texas pride, and it's like, goddammit, I don't know how many fucking relatives that fought in the goddamn Revolutionary War. It's the whole reason we have a fucking country to begin with. Shut the hell up.
That was way pre-Texas. I don't even think Texas was part of Mexico. I don't think Texas was a thing back then.
Yeah. So,
well,
hey.
I mean, I knew about it because, you know, it wasn't mainstream.
Yeah, I was going to say, I knew Texas before it was cool.
Yeah. I knew Texas before it was Texas. Back when it was North Mexico.
Anyways, so fuck Texas, but where we live, gotta deal with it. We're going to go to our music break. This week's song is titled Rainbow Rhapsody by the artist Macom. Enjoy. Thank you. are back. Hopefully your minds have not been completely blown and your brain is safely encased in your skull. That was good stuff. I like that guy, and he's really not done a lot of stuff yet. So now on to our Adam and Eve pick of the week. And this week is something...
Pick of the week!
That is really, really gay. So, right up a large portion of our audience's alley. Literally. This one is titled, What a Big Dick. It is one of the gay DVDs by Eagle Video on adamandeve.com. It is, ooh, goodness, about pull the recorder off. That would be bad.
You were just so excited about the big dick.
You know? Yeah, what can you say? It's 3.5 hours of mega hung hunks on each other. When a horny stud gets dared to take a 10-inch dick, he calls horse hung afro hunk Johnny Long to prove him wrong. So you got interracial Latin and butt sex. It's 3.5 hours of butt sex with buff, sexy dudes. And
it probably snuck some oral in there, too.
Well, there's glory hole scenes that you'll have to see to believe, you know, because dicks through holes in the wall. Amazing!
Well, the holes are portals.
Oh, so they're actually glory holing themselves.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I see part of that on FA.
He gave himself retinol, so he doesn't remember.
I saw one picture of someone humping a portal and fucking himself through the other side.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen that too.
The only one? I've seen like four.
There's a lot of them.
The funny thing is that for most of those it wouldn't work because when you thrust forward, your ass moves away from the cock coming out the other portal. So.
They're furries. It's not like their shit has to make any sense.
It's a sad seesaw. I can almost...
Now see, like, now sucking your dick through a portal, that would work.
Yes.
That's thinking with portals.
now you're thinking with your dick. I mean, with portals.
So, hey, it's $24.95, but if you use our coupon code KNOT, that's KNOT, at adamandeve.com, you'll get 3% off one item.
You get something.
3 free DVDs and a mystery gift, and free shipping in the U.S.
My mystery gift that I got one time was heated nipple clamps.
No way.
Way. Cool. They're still in their original packaging because I don't know what to do with them.
You put them on your nipples.
And they're heated.
Evidently.
Well, if you like nipple play, then that's your thing. Otherwise, it's like, wow.
If you're ever working a customer service job and anyone's giving you shit, you're like, all right, fucker. You get the nipple. Just grab their chest and clamp.
Actually, like, I seem to end up with people who are like, yeah, like, can you stop playing with my nipples? That doesn't really do anything for me. I don't want you wasting your time. And I'm just like, ah.
Oh, God, I hate nipple play.
It's not even, like, sorry. Nipple play. It's just like, never mind. I'm not going to talk about my sex life. Hi, podcast.
Well, you
this
know,
is a perfect podcast to talk about it.
You know, otters, they're just so busy all the damn time, apparently.
I don't know if we have a stereotype that involves nipples.
y'all are foxes of the sea.
No, what did we determine last week, Saren?
Oh God,
the otters are.
What was that, Fuzz?
Otters are water diggers.
Wow, you don't need me to bring the racism at all.
Fennex are sand diggers, so otters
oh
have
my
to
God.
Be
otters have you to can, be water diggers. You cannot say that term. That's a real thing. You can't say that.
What, like packy?
See, now...
It's okay, Zap's not here.
See, now we're getting...
You should just see the expressions going over his face. It's like, you can't just say that term.
Neither Kami Hirosaki nor Unsheath approve of the messages of this show.
You do not approve of Fuzzwolf.
No, I approve of Fuzzwolf, like, you know, when you're like a publisher and a printer and a writer, then I approve of you wholeheartedly.
Just not on this.
Just not when it comes to racism and animals.
Oh, we gotta find we gotta make up some racist terms.
Oh, I don't know if we've got to.
For furry species, though.
No, I don't know if that needed to happen.
This has to be done. You know, just, I don't know. Wait. I guess otters would also be wetbacks.
So the subject this week is how to podcast. Thoughts are providing a great example of how not to podcast. This is super not cool.
Don't do this, kids.
No, really. Don't try this at home. And don't try this in a podcasting studio either.
I'm sorry. It just sort of came out.
Becky's not here, so, you know, you had to make up something.
I thought it was funny. Sorry.
Are you not comfortable sitting on the couch next to him anymore?
It's okay. I'll never be clean again.
Are
you okay,
I'm
Severin?
I'm sad.
Your heart sad?
Yes, I'm just gonna cry now.
My little podcast, Friendship is Racist.
No.
Racism is magic.
No.
That's even worse.
Y'all are terrible.
Oh, God.
We all get together in the barn and we put on these white hoods.
then what? Are they gonna go burn down Zecora's hut?
Yes.
Oh. Y'all are terrible. No.
They just leave a burning horseshoe in the front yard.
I'm just thinking, hey Gabe, yesterday I kissed a boy. Does that make me gay? It's like, I don't know. I guess people experiment. It's like, later we fucked like 20 times in a bar.
What is that from?
It's from a really old penny arcade where Slippy yes. the Toad contacts Gabe in the middle of the night. It's like, the other day I kissed a boy. Does that make me gay?
I need to read that again. Remember when Duke Nukem Forever was announced? It's like, well, these horse cocks aren't going to suck themselves.
You know, I had been doing so well. I went to the doctor last week. I got antibiotics because after all that coughing all our listeners heard me do, I actually had pneumonia. So I've actually been clearing up. And then you fuckers make me laugh to the point where I start gagging again. God damn it.
Well, we're helping.
Now the residual pneumonia is coming out and hitting all y'all.
Yes, you're sharing your foul Chakat plague. Be gone, you hex-limbed demoness.
She's a hex-limbed enchantress.
And she does Chakat dances.
But she can't because the limbs get in the way.
She looks you in the eye.
She's a hexapus.
And she'll put you in trances.
Whose turn is it to read?
So it would be yours. How about we read the one about being furry in China?
Oh, okay. Well, Recky covered the Asian racism a couple weeks ago, so I don't need to go there.
We have three non-topical and then three topical ones left. Then we can discuss the methodology of podcasting. We make you wait till the end. Sorry.
Yeah, but it'll be like last week where like we didn't even discuss our bedroom sexualities.
That's because it was sort of a derpy topic.
No, it was. Wait a minute. Didn't Shiva think of that?
It was Recky.
Oh, you're saying that because we have not Recky here.
Well, I was going to say, like, we postponed it to the next week, and now apparently you're all hearing about my sexuality, which, what the hell?
I can't believe it's not Recky.
I can't believe I'm airing my sex life to an audience of thousands of people.
Being furry in China. So have you ever had sex with an Asian?
Do you break him in half?
Yes, I have, actually.
I have, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Asians. And the soy didn't kill me. Awesome.
You're a horrible person.
Yes, yes he is.
Pat me, you condolingly. Hey, Notcast. Thank you for taking time to regard my email. I'm a first-time listener. Found your podcast from FA's link to FNN, which is a furrynewsnetwork.com for those at home, which led to you guys. Maybe we should actually advertise on FA. Since this apparently worked, who started on episode 135 and really wanted to thank you guys for a really fun podcast. For someone who has been interested and somewhat a part of the fandom for about 9 years, fairly under the radar, no cons, no fursuit, no known furry in real life friends, I got some good laughs and it gave me a chance to really reflect on how I see myself within the fandom. I'm sure you hear it a lot, and with over 100 podcasts in, you guys are doing successful, I'm sure. But I wish you all the best and continued success. Now I just wanted to get that set of feelings out of the way. Now to the subject. Excuse me. I am a college student studying abroad for a semester in Beijing and found, somewhat to my surprise, there seems to be a non-existent furry scene in China, or in the very least Beijing. Now, I haven't done much serious research or insight into this, so I cannot confirm it, but why would you think the furry fandom is practically dead in one of the largest and most populated countries in the world? I know that in many of the more rural regions, and even some cities, homosexuality is still frowned upon, if not punishable, and that the Beijing gay scene is just starting to flower. Of course, the fandom isn't completely gay. But nonetheless, I wanted to throw out this topic to you guys as something to discuss or group reply email. Why do you think China, or Beijing, if you want to focus on just the capital city, is lacking this scene? If this is read over the airways, I cannot wait to hear soon-to-be-addicted listener LT Loving Tiger from Connecticut.
Dude, you got two for one, LT.
I think it's partially language barrier, and also China's internet is very restricted. They have all kinds of lockdowns on where they can go and what they can do.
What words are restricted and stuff. Plus, it probably has something to do with collectivist versus individualistic culture, where, you know, it's more acceptable to be normal than have some strange out there interest.
Unlike Japan.
I have an interesting point. As somebody who has lived in the Asia, and specifically the Japan before.
The Japan.
I have lived in the Japan, yes. Actually, I think that this is probably a lot of it comes down to cultural relevance. I think that the furry, like, even if you look at the furry fandom in North America and the furry fandom in Europe, there's obviously a lot of overlap because we share a common language, but there's lots of differences that you can note. For example, I've noticed that European furs tend to have a stronger element of spirituality to their fandom presence. That seems to be like a thing with them. And I would also say that this is true also of like older furries in North America, but like nowadays a lot of furries are getting into the fandom things like video games and anime and other side fandoms, whereas in Europe, sort of still, and you know, in the US, you know, more so in the past, was like, you know, sort of things like, you know, like cartoons. And it brings a different element, you know, with it. And, like, if you look at Japan, in Japan, again, like, that's a, you know, a country with a population of, like, over 150 million people. And they, like, that's, like, the population of all of California. And, you know, I live in California. There is a shit ton of us furries out there. We're, like, you know, one of, like, the big furry meccas. There's not really a furry, like, quote-unquote, community of any real appreciable size in Japan, though.
I mean, there are online artists that there do are, yeah, a lot of
but,
art.
But that's basically all they do. They draw art on, like, people's websites. They don't convene like we do. They don't, like, hang out and, like, you know, like, do, like, group gatherings. I think there's, like, one... There's Transfer, which is, like, they're, like, one con, and I think it gets something like a couple hundred people max, which, like, for a country with population of Japan is just,
you know...
I mean, hell, it's, like, half the size of, like, the first year furry fiesta, and it's, like, wow, like, really?
And it's also, it's, I don't think it's considered as much as a fandom off on its own. Usually it's part of other fandoms. It's part of an anime.
Because it's like either...
It's not distilled out into a separate community.
And even more so, the drawing pictures of animal people and the dressing up in fursuits are also like really unrelated things. Whereas, you know, with us, these sort of things go hand in hand a lot more readily because it's part of like the same umbrella fandom.
Whereas it's more cosplay in general and not so much.
Yeah, so like somebody with, say, a Renamon costume would be like, I'm a cosplayer, not furry. I have the soul of a Renamon.
Right. As opposed to, you know, your German friends would be like, yes, I have the soul of a Renamon. But no, just like...
My soul is Pikachu, Pika Pika. So
I still remember,
why
like,
does Pikachu sound like a pedophile?
I still remember it's a soundbite from Fuzzwolf. It's on like episode like 2 or 3 of Notcast where he just goes, I have the soul of a Pikachu. And like the way you deliver that line, like I always wanted to like clip it out and like play it for myself. And like have it on like a soundboard, but never did.
Would that be like the tone if I text you?
Oh god, the Fuzzwolf soundboard. Oh god.
Oh god, let's not make one about tonight. That would be terrible.
Oh, yeah. You guys need to make that.
If you do make a not cast soundboard, you can always use my Fennec eating a scorpion noise. So. Yeah. I hope that comes out okay. It sounded okay in my earphones. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that answers your question. I mean, I'm just a guy from Texas. I don't really know.
I mean, like, I don't know enough about sci-fi fandoms in China in general. Like, are they big? I'm sure that, I know that China's full of computer nerds because they make all the money. But, I mean, like, is D&D big in China? I'm guessing probably not. Yeah. They're huge on WoW.
Yeah, but even then...
But it's super regulated WoW. Yeah. You can't kill a panda.
Well, there's no pandas in the game, and that's not even real. That's an urban legend. But, like, the undead had to get custom models. The Wrath of the Lich King,
which was
all about zombies and undead and shit. Like, all the skeleton stuff got replaced with boxes. So there's just crates everywhere. Rooms full of crates instead of skeletons.
Wow. In Japan, actually, when they design video games, they have to be very careful about... even like monsters having five fingers.
What?
Because having fewer than five fingers indicates that you're a yakuza.
What?
Yeah, I'm not making that up.
So, okay.
Is that like a membership requirement?
You'll notice on the original cover for the first Sonic the Hedgehog game, he has one fewer finger than he does in the later games. And people were like, no, like, he needs more fingers because it looks like he had to, like, cut off a pinky to appease a mob boss.
I will
say... Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. My one comment on this is going to be that if you're not finding furries in Beijing, the capital that I know is a very populated city, then you're probably not going to find them anywhere else in China in the rural areas. That would probably be the place to look.
And it might, I don't know if he actually speaks any of the Chinese dialects. He might not be on the right boards or something in China.
Yeah, I don't even know like the Chinese term for it.
It would probably be fairly underground, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like a lot of things in China.
I was going to say, yeah. So it just might not be looking in the right place.
Yeah. So, Severin, where are we on the email?
The one titled Kinks is the last one that is not topical.
Kinks.
Is that mine?
Yes, that'll be you.
Oh, hooray.
There you go.
Yeah, you're getting the real bumper crop of winter email this week.
Hi, Notcast. Closet Cat here. Heard the topic and had to write in. I guess this is for last week.
This one was from Spent a Day Late.
My sex life has gotten...
Sorry.
No problem. My sex life has gotten pretty vanilla nowadays, but that's not why we're here, is it? I'm into just about everything, especially doing it in public areas, and I had a mate who was into just about everything as well. Oh, good for you. We tried to fuck in the most dangerous places, including the back of a truck, numerous graveyards, a pier or two, in a pool with our siblings on the other end, trampoline in the front yard in the middle of the day, up against a big window facing the main street, and at our most daring, while at a family gathering on the opposite side of a bonfire from my parents, grandparents, uncles, cousins, etc. Can I call bullshit?
Maximum cool story, bro.
I know. Although this isn't particularly the height of our kinks. What? I love it when she would slap me or punch me during sex, and if I was lucky, she would try to strangle me too. Story time. That wasn't the story. Once when she was feeling particularly naughty, she blindfolded me and bent me over her knee. I had no clue what was about to take place. Next thing I know, I feel a warm lubed hand on my cock, and whack, I feel a sharp stinging sensation on my ass, which spurs me. Did you write this, Fuzz?
No.
Which spurs me to hump into her hand.
Nope.
When whack again, she hits me and tells me I'm not allowed to move. This goes on with her faster and faster until I can't help but move because my legs are getting weak. But I'm just trying so hard not to picture Sinclair and Trevor, and I can't not see that. Which starts to bring me closer and closer, and then she'd stop and squeeze my balls just hard enough to bring me back down, and she'd start all over again. After 45 minutes in, she finally lets me come, and by God, was it ever good. I would hope so, because if that happened, you earned it. And that's all for now. I'm writing at work, and I don't want to get in too much trouble.
You wrote this at work, dude?
Oh, I've written worse than this at work.
Hope on his iPhone.
Read the next sentence.
I chanced it enough listening to your podcast at the convenience store I work here in North Florida. They don't seem to be the type to date too kindly to the queer-mo-sexuals around here. Oh, and KM Hirasaki gets my voice for sexiest. No, sorry. Savrin gets the vote for sexiest voice.
Well, thank you.
He's extra sexy now that he hasn't had his scorpion venom today.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to lay off on that. So
I'm wondering if I know this person because North Florida.
That's a cool story, bro.
Nope, don't recognize the email.
Yeah.
That's. I think I'm going to fap to.
I was gonna say like, if you wrote that just to like give Fuzzwolf an erection, mission accomplished.
Well played, sir. No, but
you've got like spanking femdoms and like. Oh.
I can clop to this.
All right, so. Shiva, we'll start from the top with podcasts. How do they do it?
Okay.
Fucking podcasts.
How do they work?
Fuzz, Saverin, Shiva, and Crinklebutt. I guess you're Crinklebutt.
Oh, I am so not Crinklebutt. I'm into some kinky stuff, but not that.
Unacceptable.
So
immortal dog.
See, I was thinking of that as like a husky tail, but now you maybe realize what that actually means.
Yeah, that's a different thing that I am not associated with.
It's an entirely different kind of crinkle altogether.
Yes. What's a new that? Anywho.
Don't mean to crinkle your style.
I can't crinkle to this. Oh, there's a giant wall of courage, Wolf.
Just keep on reading.
I tried to think of any questions that I might have to ask you guys, and I have to say, can't come up with anything. Our own podcast is far too awesome to require advice from anyone that do not surpass us as equals.
Oh. Well, I guess that's why you're going to get to listen to us.
See, this is from Unfurled, so...
Their podcast is a metric.
That said, I'd like to contribute to the conversation of learning to make your own very... special podcast, something worth listening to. At first, I'd like to bring up the one I feel most important. People seem eager to forget in their rush to stardom is that podcast is a labor of love. You don't, shouldn't, start a podcast with the intent of becoming popular.
Or poppy fur.
Oh, I hate that term. It's something you enjoy doing first and foremost. Merchandise, fame, and fortune come later if you're diligent enough. Second, give a shit about the topic you're podcasting about. Rage, debate, argue, quietly quarrel about whatever you want, but make sure it's something you're passionate about. If you don't care about your topics, you will not only bore your listeners, your podcast probably won't last too long either. Thirdly, and don't take it from us, is a consistent schedule. Once a week, once a month, just make sure it's consistent. Stop updating for far too long or post late one too many times, and people are most likely to stop listening. Or they'll send you more email and tell you to get back up and running, which seems to be happening in our case. In closing, I would like to say, in getting caught up with your recent podcast, it's good to have a fresh voice on the show. Props to you, Recky. He's so much more enjoyable than the other guy who was on a while ago, Damien. That guy was kind of a douche.
Yeah, he kind of was.
Props to you all. When podcasting for you guys no longer becomes fun... may y'all go down in glorious hellfire fitting for a podcast running well over 100 episodes in several years. A toast to overcoming furry fandom mediocrity, Roland.
Yes, indeed.
Hey there, Dry Otter. How are you doing?
Dry Otter?
Yeah.
He's a ferret.
Oh.
He's an otter with all the slinkiness taken out. Or all the slipperiness taken out.
I was going to say, they have plenty of slink.
He's got plenty of slink, not as much slip. At least not as much natural slip.
He has to, you know, that's roll around in baby oil.
Wow, it sounds like I'm talking about putting him in a dress.
I was thinking he had to lubricate him.
Oh, of course you were thinking. You were thinking that before I said it anyway.
So, yes.
I'm always thinking about lubricating Roland.
Roland makes some very good points here, though.
I think I'm going to read that other email to myself and think about lubricating Roland, and I'm going to have a pretty good night.
All right.
Mission accomplished.
Make
podcast masturbate. Courage cast.
Alrighty. Well, I mean,
I don't know. I totally agree with him. And you're not going unless you're the only person that I know of that can make a living off of podcasts and merchandise and fame is Kevin Smith.
If you
does not equal Kevin Smith, you are not going to become.
What about Dan Savage?
He's also a columnist, and he also speaks. Yeah.
Well, I guess and you could say Kevin Smith is also a film director.
I would say John Bain, Total Biscuit, but then again, he also does standard radio work. So, yeah, podcasting is definitely something that you do for fun.
It's a hobby.
It's a hobby.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we joke about being, oh, we're famous podcasters, but really, in the grand scheme of things, people know who we are, but that's about it. You know, it's not something that we did to become rich and famous. And
right.
We had a goofy idea.
We had a goofy idea, and we've ran with it for 141 episodes at this point.
I mean, yeah, the story that Kyle and I tell, it's actually, like, you know, when Notcast first, like, started, we're like, we could talk about writing, and then, like, 2 years later, we're like, we could do this. It's just sort of like, we'd always be like, we should do a podcast about writing. Like, yeah. And then, like, we would never mention it again. And eventually we were like, you know what? Like, let's just start. And we got, like, two episodes in, and then Kyle's mate was like, you guys need to stop. I'm going to buy you some professional recording equipment before you embarrass yourselves in front of everyone.
Yeah. That'll come up in a little bit about having proper equipment. Yeah.
But no, for scheduling, we've actually been really good about keeping a regular schedule. We usually post once a week. The last podcast was actually late, and Kit has actually like been super apologetic about the fact that it wasn't posted on time. But it's been kind of a crazy quarter.
We've actually gotten a lot better about our... If an episode doesn't have anything to really edit and we get it out in a reasonable time frame... Like, by the time we're done recording this tonight, it'll take me about 30 minutes to make the episode, and it'll get uploaded tomorrow at some point. Tomorrow evening, most likely.
Yeah.
Day before the end of the world. Woo!
That's, I was going to say, before we go in a rain of hellfire, like Roland says, which is apparently in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll have a chance to listen to this before... I don't think any listeners to either of our shows are going to get raptured.
Yeah, so they'll be around to listen and have the post-rapture looting parties. So more power to you.
I don't know if Roland's gonna be able to do any looting if Fuzz has his way.
Oh, sorry.
He can loot my balls of their load.
So hey, I'm gonna read that next email then.
Yeah, please do.
Subject: penis cakes.
Okay.
Dear Notcast, first off, I'd like to thank Fuzzwolf for the 100th time for pimping out my fur meats, even though he did get the city in which they were being hosted wrong. It's Waterford, Connecticut, not New London. It's okay, though. I've listened to a good 70% of the Notcast episodes, and getting mentioned makes me feel like kind of a celebrity or something of the sort. Anyways, podcast. I've been involved with many different communities, both furry and non-furry related, over the years. We have attempted to do podcasts on about 20 different occasions and have found no luck with it, mostly because the podcasts were done over Skype. Do you think it's possible to have a successful podcast done when the members of said podcast aren't even in the same country, let alone the same room? From what I've seen, it works from a couple episodes, but it doesn't have that same spontaneous humor that happens when you can see the people you're talking to up close and personal. Thanks for your time, and boo on any of you not going to Anthrocon.
I'll be at Anthrocon.
Oh, and on a last related note, have you guys ever thought about writing a book together? The fandom needs more humor. Corey.
Hey, fellow otter.
So, actually, there is a good solution to this that we have found on my other show. It's a program called Uvu. O-O-V-O-O.
I was going to say, spell that.
It is a...
Well, Rachel Ray must be going nuts over that.
It is a video conferencing program. It is primarily used for corporate level stuff because it's damn expensive if you have one of their plans. But it's free with heavy ad support for up to 3 users to basically web conference. Basically, they stole iChat from OS X and prettied up for Windows and added extraneous things.
Oh, they didn't pretty it up. The interface looks like shit.
Yeah. I said prettied up with implied quotation marks. It is so much more useful. So on the first episode of Bronyville, it was really hard because it was 4 people who don't know each other, who don't talk a lot. Or was it 3? Whatever.
It's 4, I think, on the first one.
Okay. Well, anyways, it was... people over Skype who didn't know each other, and we just stumbled and stepped on each other's toes, and it was really I thought it was a train wreck, to say the. But mm-hmm. we have a really good sound engineer who does the editing and fixing, and it puts all the woo over my accidental swear words.
Yay!
Yeah. And basically, using Uvo allows you to see each other and react when the other is not talking or is talking, and you want to, you know, raise a hand to say something. That visual cue makes it a lot easier to do. Just be aware that, yeah, it is heavily ad supported and really annoying, but it is a good alternative. The other thing, like, Skype costs money. To do video chats.
You can do two for free, but if you're going to do more than that,
yeah, Uvo lets you do three.
The other thing I'm going to suggest so I do Hoofers with Teal Fox, and until he moved here recently, he was in California. I was here in Dallas, so we would record it over Skype. But what we would do is we would each record our end of the conversation in Audacity, saved at a nice high quality level, exported as a wave. He would use a free service called Dropbox to get me the file, because it would be, you know, several hundred megs as an uncompressed wave. And then in Audacity, I put the two together and merge them after I go through and I clip out background noise or pauses and stuff like that. And I also used a program called CallWave, which records all of your... don't show me things on a computer screen. Anyway, CallWave records the actual Skype conversation. The problem with using a recorded Skype conversation for a podcast is that you're recording a digital phone call, so it's not the highest quality, and that quality is going to suffer even more once you compress it to an MP3. But having that call file is a good guideline for the individual wave files so that you can properly sync them up and make sure that they stay synced up throughout the episode. But because we're recording locally and we have our own mic, we get a nice, clear wave file, and then I put it together, and you can't really tell that we're not in the same room when we're recording. And this is how a lot of podcasts do it. I listen to another Doctor Who podcast where, like, they had a guest one week who was on the East Coast of the U.S., and the two regular hosts were, I think, in England and Australia. So you're talking about a bunch of different time zones there. Yeah,
that's like middle of the night.
Yeah, like one guy had to wake up at like 3 in the morning or something like that. And I think the guy in Maryland had to wake up at like 3 a.m. to catch the guys in Australia at a decent hour. So you run into that difficulty with doing it over distance if you're crossing time zones.
Well, that's like one of the challenges with this with Burneyville is that we have people from all over the net.
Mm-hmm.
So last week we had one from, you know... Apple Cider is over in Cali. I'm here in Texas. And the other two guests were in Eastern Canada and the UK. So we had to record at like 10 a.m. my time to catch everybody within a reasonable... And like old Flane had to like wake up at stupid early.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I know...
The things we do for our podcasts.
Elkim, you did a couple very early on Sheets with Kyle where you guys were remote.
We were remote. I was on a month-long business trip, and we actually used Skype. The reason that the call quality... The reason that the audio quality on those are so bad isn't so much because of Skype, because, again, I did the same thing that you did. I would record my own session with Audacity and upload it and have it merged. But the reason that the quality is bad is because I was recording with just, like, a USB headphone jack that was just, like, a $10 set of headphones.
That's the worst.
So get a decent mic.
Yeah, which, like, you know, we have now.
Yeah.
And actually, we've had a couple of other instances. Actually, the episode we just posted, episode number 79.
We got Foos on.
We have Foos on, who is also in the UK. And, I mean, that comes through a lot better. Also, there was also, do you remember the Notcast Presents X that we did where there was like eight of us.
Yeah, I think it was six, but we had
it was me.
You were in Cali and Alex was all the way in the Netherlands. Yeah. And I think that's the furthest that it spread.
But yeah, because it was me, you, Kyle, Alex, Pyro Stinger, White Yodi. That's sick. I think that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, we had six people on one giant Skype gangbang.
Yeah, and we did it that way where you guys all sent me your individual wave files. Yeah. And it was a little bit of a challenge to get it all together. Oh, and I had a laptop running in the other room with CallWave running on it, just recording the Skype conversation separate from everything else, so that if anyone's WAVE file went completely tits up and I couldn't save it, I at least, it wouldn't be the best audio quality, but I at least had a backup that for a podcast is probably adequate, but you know. But that actually turned out really well, amazingly. The only issue you run into is the greater the distance, every computer runs at like a slightly different speed. So if you're doing a really long file, you will be slightly out of sync by the end of it. So if you're going to do a really long show, I would definitely suggest breaking it up and restarting the file like after an hour or something like that.
I know that there's Skype, but I just wonder if anybody uses any of the other chat programs like TeamSpeak or Ventrilo or any of the other, which are designed for multiple people talking at once and that have the whole mute and squelch the way...
Mm-hmm.
See, I play WoW. On WoW, I play using Ventrilo, which has a push-to-talk button, which means that if I'm coughing or if I'm whatever, it doesn't pick it up because I have to actually hit the button for my sound to go through,
mm-hmm.
which whenever I Skype kind of drives me nuts because I have to tell it when to turn off. I wish Skype had like a push-to-talk feature.
That might be a good idea. Of course, I don't have to do Skype casts now that Teal's local, but yeah, there's a lot of times like I clear my throat a lot, and I had to trim it all out in Audacity, which every time I use the generate silence thing in Audacity, I think silence will fall, and I can't help but thinking that every time I do it. But yeah, it's totally possible to do Skype casts.
You should kill your podcast on site.
It takes a little bit more effort in the editing to get everything sounding pretty than it does to do where you're all together in a room. And like Saravan says, the Uvu program allows you to at least see yourself. So when someone's going to say something, you don't talk over somebody. But then again, we do that when we record in real life too. We'll still like talk over each other. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that totally never happens on our show.
Well, of course not.
So do we want to read the other one of these other emails, Saravan, and then yes. talk about our equipment? Which one are we reading?
We only got three left, so.
So which one's Kay? I'm going to read here.
Just read the Casting Your Pod.
Casting Your Pod.
It came in past the deadline, but it's actually really good.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Okay.
Hey there, Notcasters. Rissik here again. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, okay. I read the PS.
Risk?
Risk. Rissik. Yeah, okay. I was going to email you last week, but unless fapping alone counts as a bedroom specialty, I don't think I could have added anything to the podcast. I don't know, how interestingly do you fap? But given that this could be the last Notcast ever, Rapture, capital V, I wanted to give you at least give you guys an update in regards to my last email. I've decided to act on my feelings, though unfortunately school and work have kept me from seeing the guy for a while, but we'll be hanging out soon enough. I plan on asking him sometime when we're more alone. Probably after the rest of the guys go to sleep. We are both borderline insomniacs, so we're usually the last ones up. In regards to the topic, I also have a question about podcasts. At the moment, I listen to you guys and Unsheathed. Yay! And I've also listened to things like the Penny Arcade podcast in the past. In all cases, it's the banter between the casters that really draws me in. I find the cast get most interesting when the participants are having a genuine conversation, so I tend to actually like it when the people go off on tangents. Considering that, I wonder how well a podcast with only one person would work. The thing is, I've been thinking about how to do a cast of my own for a while, probably something focusing on tabletops and games like Ironclaw. The problem is, the only local fur I know is something of a dick and refuses to even be friends with me. I asked him out twice in the span of about a year, both times rather awkwardly. After I apologized for it and asked to be friends, he said he didn't think I was capable of it. Ugh. Now I've tried... Sorry, dude. Now I've tried looking for a local fur group, but there isn't much that would require me that wouldn't require a commute straight into Atlanta, which is a bit out of the way. I live in a local county close to the area, but it's still an hour or so drive, and I'm not getting a car for a while. So any podcast I would do would have to be by myself. Do you think this would work, given that there wouldn't be any real conversation, and it'd probably just be me talking to myself for half an hour? Or, for that matter, would it work with anyone? Regardless of the answer, thank you for your time. Rizik, P.S. A small note about my name. It's my fault for not making it clear, but the beginning is pronounced like it would be in River, not Rock. Oh, yeah. Can I say Rizik? Like River. River song.
The only water in the forest is the river.
On a related note to podcast, Kyle Gold gets my votes for sexiest voice. Sorry, Saverin.
Aww.
So, accepting this award on behalf of Kyle Gold will be me. I'll bring it back for him.
I
know he's got that like cute little like Georgian drawl that probably draws him in, and I just sort of have my nasal otter voice.
Yeah,
Star Wars.
It's all about the Coke Zero.
Oh my god, let me tell you, I totally stopped reading New Jedi Order. Oh my god.
Well, I mean, for a solo podcast,
don't get me started on the New Jedi Order, please.
You could do a podcast about fapping alone in your room. The material would seem to be well served.
It would just sound like this.
So, but doing a solo show requires something that is frequently updated.
Yeah.
It is something that has to be ongoing and has to be something you are passionate about. You really have to give a fuck to talk about something to yourself for half an hour.
Yeah.
Or more. The real success of a lot of shows is the fact there are multiple people. And I don't see my opinion here.
Man.
That a gaming, I mean, unless there is a website out there that I'm not privy to that has, you know, day by day updates of the latest in tabletop gaming news, there's probably not going to be a lot to talk about.
Now, in gaming news, Pathfinder still exists.
And in other news, this guy totally made race sheets for Earth, Pegasus, and Unicorn Ponies. That's amazing. Nobody can play as Rainbow Dash. What is her class? Rainbow Dash.
Also, can I just tell you how many fate points my Dresden Files RPG character has?
Let me tell you about my Shadowrun game.
One of those?
It's actually really good.
Oh, now I'm curious.
I can tell you about it later.
Might be cool.
So he just said Dresden, and it's like derail. Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, see, there was a tangent right there.
I am a nerd of many talents.
Nerd.
You were like a meta nerd, which is cool because we're all meta nerds. But what I was going to say is that you need to have a strong personality. You have to be opinionated, and you have to be unafraid to stand by those opinions as well. Because that will also fuel feedback, whether people agree with you or people say, "You are a troll of the highest caliber, sir. I spit at thee." Mm-hmm. Well, either way, you're getting feedback, and that fuels the show. Not to say don't just be a trolly asshole and make, you know, massively unpopular decisions because it'll piss people off. That's just rude.
I guess one person that's got like a strong personality and does pretty much what we do would be Dan Savage.
Yeah.
Who occasionally has a guest, but he mostly carries that show on the strength of his personality.
Dan Savage does a solo
show. But he also
calls
listeners too.
Yeah, he has some interaction. The other solo casts I can think of are ones where where it's like you're trying to teach somebody something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I listened to a bit of a podcast that was on podcasts and how to podcast. And I'm sure even with video games, there could be something like tips and tricks, or here's how you do this thing in WoW, here's how you get this special ability or something like that. So anything you're trying to be like an instructor or a teacher, you could probably pull that off.
We'll see. A long-running WoW podcast is Total Biscuits, Blue Please. And he's a solo show.
Mm-hmm.
He does interviews occasionally, but unfortunately, it's one of those. It has to be driven with new content, and if there's a drought of content, it makes it really hard to do his shows. Mm-hmm. So he is not consistent. He's also making a lot of money doing, like, casting StarCraft II now. Which more power to them. But even something like WoW, which does have a lot of player base and a lot of activity, still requires a lot of fresh content to be able to do a solo show.
So you have to pretty much kind of take this as, this is Ironclad, and kind of go into depth into like a segment a week.
Yeah.
And you'd really have to kind of sit there and tear apart the game to get enough content to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even then, I would argue that it would still be way more interesting to listen to with two people talking about it and like basically like getting to like tell each other like why like one of them thinks this is cool and why the other one does. I mean, like, rapport is really, really important.
Yeah,
like he said, he says like the conversation is what draws them in, and like it is. It's a lot easier to listen to people having a conversation than to sit and listen to a lecture. Anyone who's ever been to college will tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, try Uvu. We've talked about this a lot, and ever since Flame mentioned it to me before we were doing Bronyville, it was like, what?
So ponies solve all your problems, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Love and tolerance for all. Rainbow, anyways.
Rainbow Dash.
Love and tolerance podcasting, what can and cannot be clopped to.
Rainbow Dash saved my life.
Oh, I'm going to start Clopcast.
Oh, God.
No, you're not.
Have you heard the good news about Rainbow Dash?
No. The whole thing about our friend Silverstreak and his kid.
Okay.
And getting the kid to do stuff because that's what Rainbow Dash would do is freaking priceless.
See?
Okay.
NLP improves parenting.
Yes, it does. So, are you going to share that story?
Which one?
The one about you just mentioned.
The one you just mentioned about.
There's a couple things that she got him to do with Rainbow Dash.
Well, why don't you tell her? Tell the nice people on the internet. We're
doing podcasts.
Okay, so. You know, whatever.
It's already like 11 o'clock.
We'll tell you later.
It's 11:19.
Lol, Rainbow Dash.
But anyways, but you can try Uvu and try to find another fur online to do a show with. I'm sure that there are other people out there.
Yeah, solo shows tend to be a little dry from the solo shows that I've listened to. Sometimes they're interesting. Sometimes they're a little on the dry side. So I think
you want a moist podcast.
You want a slippery podcast. That's why we have an otter here.
Yeah,
a hotter otter.
Slippery. Yeah, otters are hotter.
I will share my train of thought when we get off the podcast.
When you get off.
Wait. Oh, no.
So, who's next?
That would be Shiva. And
I thought we were going to talk about your equipment after one.
Okay, so what
we should probably cut off the emails there.
Yeah.
And say what we gotta say.
I'll just mark these two as unread because they're good and we will need them next
week. We'll mark them as unloved.
No, we'll read them next week because they're both on topic to this week's show.
GLaDOS has decided that we do not love these emails.
The parents you are trying to call do not love you.
So
that's sad.
So we should cover...
Their parents must have worked at the phone company. You were majestic, like an eagle, piloting a blimp.
I haven't seen Portal 2 in action yet. So there's two things to consider with podcasting, and that would be content and technology. And we actually had two different panels on this at FC, where we had podcasting content, which is the hosts and what they bring to the show and what you're going to be discussing. And then we had podcasting nuts and bolts, which is the microphones, how to generate an RSS feed, how to get web hosting, that sort of thing. So... Everyone's just looking at me or not.
Well, I mean, you were starting us
I was trying to start us out, yeah. So, I think the big thing is content. There's a lot of, like, early podcasts that's just, like, get two or three of your friends together and ramble, and it just kind of sounds like a mess that doesn't really go anywhere and isn't really... engaging. Like, I think you want like a sort of a like a loose framework, at least like some sort of subject matter. Yeah,
and I think that's what made like Notcast work like early on was that like a bunch of people emailed in, so you had shit to talk about.
Yeah,
and it was all like at least related to like sex and relationships. So I was like, hey, look, we have the rubric we're working in. We have content not generated by us that we can like bandy about. boom, done. Rapport established over a few episodes. Roll with that. Here we are 3 years later. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Episode 141.
The big thing is content. And with us, that's our real advantage, is that you, the listeners, provide the content. And we bounce off it. And that sparks our reactions and our discussions amongst each other.
Yeah.
Who Furs and Bronyville, the content is generated by an outside licensed property that you're discussing the ins and outs and the nuts and bolts of.
And also, at least in the case of Bronyville, we're having content creators within the community coming in discussing, you know, ways to keep nascent communities going during the in-between season time, fic authors, basically, you know, writers for the community,
mm-hmm.
and people who run websites and all that other stuff, musicians.
And, like, with Unsheathed, so, oh, sorry.
It's not terribly different than, say, an interview-style show within Furry, except this is ponies. It's, you know, the core is the same, it's just the subject matter is candy ponies and not dog people.
Yeah, and, like I said, on Unsheathed, it was mentioned sort of as part of the last question, you know, if you're, like, doing something where you're, like, offering instruction to people, I mean, like,
know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, and it's one of the things, like, Kyle and I can talk about writing all day. We do, we have. I mean, and it's one of those things that we're never going to run out of stuff to talk about. So, like, even though, and we get a lot of emails of people asking questions, like, hey, how do you do this? And we're always able to offer insights on that. I mean, we just hit the, we're officially octogenarians now. I mean, nice. we just recorded episode 81 the other day.
Hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're heading for that magical 100.
We got a real author. Like an actual New York Times
author to be on our show.
Kat Valenti.
Really?
If you have any idea who she is.
No.
She actually shows up on a lot of furry reading lists sometimes, because, like, her books all tend to have, like, animal people in there somewhere.
What's she written?
Her big novels are, she has a book called Palimpsest, which I have talked about on Unsheathed extensively. It's a really cool book about, there's this city, like this dream world city that exists, like you go there when you go to sleep. But the only way you can get there is by having sex with somebody who has already been there. Huh. And when you do that, a tattoo appears somewhere on your body. And the tattoo has a piece of a the city's map, and basically when somebody sleeps with you, that's where in the city they go, is whatever your tattoo is the map of. Hmm. And you go wherever their place is.
Huh.
And so it's basically like this dream city, which is like almost like a sexually transmitted disease. And, like, it's actually a really fascinating story.
Wow, that sounds that very furry.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, somebody in my furry writing group out in California told me about it last year, and I was like, that sounds too crazy not to read, and it's actually a really great book.
Hmm.
She also has a novel called Deathless.
Not to be confused with the Graveyard Greg Deathless.
This is a sort of modernized retelling of the Russian fairy tale of Maria Morevna and Kostyei the Deathless.
Well, that is actually what Greg's Deathless is about.
Is it really?
Yeah, wow, it's about Kostyei the Deathless.
Okay,
I know a lot of fairy tales. I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's a very famous Russian tale, but it's basically set in like Stalinist Russia, and you know, it's basically a, you know, sort of, you know, modern contemporary take on that sort of thing, set against, like, you know, a very fantastic story set against a real world backdrop. And I won't ruin the surprise of how she does that, but
she is a wizard.
Yeah,
that's really cool though. That's cool that you actually got somebody who's a quote unquote real author. Yeah.
Oh, she's super nice, and she knows about furries too.
I imagine her writing material, you know, gets furries interested in her, which is, you know, which is pretty cool that she's cool with that. Because there's been a couple other comic creators, like the Reality Check, who discovered that, like, a lot of furries were reading their comic and they, like, lashed out at furries in the editorial page. about how terrible furries were, and it's like, yeah, and then their ratings kind of dropped after that. So.
But she's like, oh yeah, no, she's like, I end up like my books get like labeled on like, you know, like furry lists like all the time. She's like, there's this one where like it can tell you like what different animals you can find in which of my books, and I'm just like, I think it's fascinating that you know what these lists are and I don't. Like, I am a furry writer and I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's all about it. And like the people that are in the fandom that are like, I'm not a furry, I'm an anthro artist, and that just makes me want to kick the crap out of somebody.
But yeah, but we do talk about, actually in the interview, about, you know, the difference between like, you know, self-identifying as furry and, you know, and not. And she's like, yeah, she's you know, she throws animal like creatures into her story. She's like, I like writing about like non-human things and things that like don't necessarily have like a strictly like human intelligence and thought process, and like that, you know, that's interesting to her. And so like, you know, she's not personally part of the furry fandom, but she's like, yeah, I'm down with animal people. And it's just like, I think it's cool that people who are into animal people want to read my books. Like, go for it.
I can dig it. Unfortunately, we could actually do like 3 hours on podcasting do's and don'ts. So we'll cover a couple of basics, I think, just to bring it back.
Yeah.
We mentioned earlier about microphones. Don't use those cheap gaming headsets.
Okay.
Because the sound from the headphones will bleed over into the microphone, and then you get a kind of echo effect from the person that you're talking to.
So, actually, speaking of microphones, I compiled a small list of options ideal for the beginning podcaster. So, one thing right off the bat is that if you have a separate microphone or headset and the microphone's not absolute crap, you'll be passable. I have found that the Rock Band microphone that comes with Rock Band for 360 is just a standard Logitech USB microphone and actually works quite well. Well, passably so. I just slap one of the windscreens on the top, and that's what I use to directly interface with my computer to record Bronyville. And I sound all right. Basically because we have real studio-style mics with XLR cables, and our interface box died. And it's like a $200 and $300 chunk of hardware we just haven't replaced yet. So we record in rather esoteric ways, directly onto an iPod. So if it dies, well, we're boned. Well, I'll just buy another iPod. And those are plentiful, and many people have them are lying around. And they work.
I'm now, using one as a dildo right now.
Well, thank you for letting us know.
It's my bedroom speciality.
I was going to say, you still worked up about Roland?
Oh, that's slippery otter.
If you're looking for, you know, inexpensive, about $35. Blue is a solid brand. Blue microphones, the Snowflake USB microphone. It's a tiny little thing. You can hook it on to your computer, whatever. It's pretty solid. Picks up a bit of background noise and is not perfect, but is good quality. Also in the same, there's the CAD U1 USB microphone, which is around the same price range and about the same amount of ratings on Amazon. Higher quality, you've got the Blue microphone Snowball.
Which I have, and Flane has.
And it's good stuff. And it'll run you about $65 right now on Amazon. Apparently they're on sale. So
yeah, I paid $100 for mine, which yeah. I considered to be a bargain, they and then found out later they were on sale.
They're normally $100, but they're on sale right now for $65. There's also the CAD U37, which is $45, which is a little less expensive, but I don't know the brand that well. I just know that Blue microphones is actually a really solid brand. And if you're going to go all out, you can get the Blue microphones Yeti,
which I think Teal has. Yeti?
It's a USB condenser mic and is like really, really, really high rated on Amazon. Normally it's $170, but Amazon has it on now for about $100. And these are solid microphones. I mean, if you're going to drop $100 on a microphone to podcast with, you're going pretty much all out, because I mean, our level of equipment is far and away beyond anybody or anything most podcasts would ever need. We've We've been doing it long enough to justify the expense, but if you're starting out, you don't want to drop a lot of money into something you may not do as a hobby. But those are about as high as you want to go.
I probably dropped about $300-$400 on my little setup for Hoofer, since it's mostly just two people. So I have this nice little gadget, Ghost Studio. It's made by the same people that do the podcast recorder Savern's using, where you just slot an iPod in there, and it's much less expensive because instead of having a built-in hard drive to record to, it uses the iPod as a hard drive and records as a voice memo.
You get really big wave files.
Yeah, and then you throw them in Audacity and output an MP3, and you're good to go.
Press the magical make podcast button.
Yeah, that'd be so much easier. But it's normally sold for like $300, and I found it for $160 at Fry's, which was nice. Kind of an insane discount. So if you can find that, good luck. I went to Guitar Center to pick up the rest of my stuff. And I got a really good deal on a mic set, where I got three mics with stands and XLR cables for $120, which is kind of a steal. And we've done a couple episodes now using this setup, and the mics are pretty decent quality. They're probably about the same quality as what we got here. So I wanted something that was, of course, I also have the, like he said, the Snowball mic, which I used for podcasting over the computer, so I could just pop in the USB. But for something that I wanted to be mobile on the road, this is the gadget that I wanted. Now, this is kind of the intermediate level, I guess. It's not just a headphones and a USB mic, and it's not like a whole rig with 8 million compressors and stuff like that. But
like our podcast box.
Yeah, but if you've listened to Hoofers or you listened to the Not Sheathed episode from FWA, the latter Hoofers episode were recorded with this rig. And, you know, for about $300 worth of equipment, it puts out a pretty good product. So
yeah,
I've been happy with it.
I don't even want to think how much we spent on that box. I know exactly how much we spent on that box.
But that's now, what I meant by Panther's love of technology.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have to spend a fortune on this. You can spend more and more and sound better.
We could put on a stage show in front of a bunch of people with this box.
We
have, like, a lot. You know, we put on shows in front of 150, 200 people with this gear. This is no slouch.
I've heard some podcasts that have some pretty lousy audio quality, so that is something that you definitely want to consider. And I can't stress enough, I would not record the actual phone call and use that as the file, because you would greatly improve your audio quality.
Plus, have shitty audio quality, you're not going to retain listeners.
Yeah.
Because even if you're the most interesting dude in the world, if your audio sounds like shit, people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
The whole time.
Now, hosting a podcast is another thing, and I actually went and looked at a couple places today.
Mm-hmm.
Podbean.com, Libsyn.com, PodcastRevolution.com, CyberEars.com. All these start about $5 a month.
Doesn't Mevio do like a free
thing or something? Yeah, there's some of them that also like auto-insert ads into your files, which are not nice.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
You just need to be careful and read what they say.
They stick it like the end or in the middle? Or
I don't know. There were some of those where it was like, make my podcast, free podcast website thing, and, you know, they insert ads for whatever in your show.
Ooh.
I'm like, that's unacceptable. All these started about $5 a month, and you don't really pay for the bandwidth. You pay for storage space, and as the number of episodes increases, you have an option of either taking old episodes down or buying more space. And then there's some of them that do meter your bandwidth. There was one I saw that was like $100 a month for a 100 gigs transfer.
Ah.
We could blow through that in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But that's us. So, Or less than 2 weeks, probably.
This Anyways, is the other thing that you want to take into account with this is compression. As the more you compress, the smaller your file will be. But if you compress too much, you sound like shit. But if you don't compress enough, then one of those cheap plans, your allotted amount of space is going to be gone in very few episodes. So it's kind of hitting a balance there with that.
Plus, people are kind of watch what they do with their how much space they have on their storage device. And
I mean, most of our episodes are like 25 to 30 megabytes AAC and about 50 for the MP3.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, we are something of a unique situation where we are hosted through For Planet.
Hi.
Because Fuzz owns the server in the company, so, you know, we're...
Unique situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, I'm paying for the bandwidth by paying for the server.
Well, you also pay for your business.
Yeah, I could host For Planet for like $15 a month on GoDaddy, but I pay for a server because I want a server to do other things with, and
exactly
one of those is the podcast.
You
casts,
I was gonna say, yeah.
You're gonna Bronyville and Hoofers are on there too,
and then you know if Flay ever resurrects that other one,
yeah, we'll have
you'll have the For Planet Network,
yeah.
Just wait. One day you'll be the furry podcast mogul.
No, because that would end up... If we opened it up to, like, just submit your podcast, which I'm totally not going to do, then the extra space I just bought and my bandwidth would just go away.
I'm kidding.
Plus then, like, Unfurled would jump on and your server would smell like ferrets.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then you can't get that smell away.
But right now we're only using, like, a quarter of the bandwidth. And since I added the extra hard drive, we've got, like, plenty of space for episodes, so that's good.
Yeah.
So, quick summary, as we were talking about, podcasting is a labor of love. It is a hobby. It is not a cheap hobby. Like, if you're going to get into this and you want to do it right, be prepared to drop the bucks.
And, you know, this thing...
At least eventually. You can start up pretty cheap.
And, okay, just to be completely honest, this thing, we have a deal with Adam and Eve, right? And we get a... We get a small share of every sale made through the website using our code. But that does not in any way cover the costs of running this show.
Mm-hmm.
If we, you know, it's a tank of gas if that split, because it's, you know, the, you know, total sales per month split five ways. That'll pay for a tank of gas, maybe. If
it'll
you're
pay
lucky.
For one of our dinners a month.
Yeah. And, you know, it. You know, it's a little bit of a kickback, I guess, but you're not going to make money doing podcasting. You're not going to make money selling merchandise.
I say, like, Unsheathed, we sell CDs, and that's really just, it's basically soliciting donations for fans to give generously back to the amount of money that we sink into it.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, do you want CDs of the episodes you've already downloaded and listened to? They're only $10. Like, CDs are cheap. This show isn't.
You guys have put some extra content on there.
Yeah, though. Not to make it more worth like
the lost episode of Anthropodcast and story readings.
We do story readings. And
We'll see, like.
So you get Kyle Gold to use his little Georgian accent to read stories.
Oh, have you not heard? Oh, you probably haven't, actually. Oh,
I only know Kyle in person.
He actually, when he reads stories a lot, he does sort of like a Jim Dale sort of voice, where he reads with this very, very proper narrative, except he doesn't do that accent.
Hmm.
But, and it's so funny, because, like, he's, like, sounding all polite and stuff, and then he's just like, and then the fox took his cock, and it's just like, whoa!
And then the fox said, fuck me, silly. See? Naughty, naughty man.
Kyle's such, like, he seems to be, like, such a sweet, innocent guy that's really polite in real life when you're talking to him, and then it's so funny thinking about,
what he writes.
What he writes, and... You know, and then you have the blowjob references popping up on Unsheathed, and it sometimes it's kind of hard to reconcile the two. It's fun.
Oh god!
And then the fox took a 15-inch cock.
Over the years I've known him, he still surprises me sometimes. We're just like, oh right, I forgot you're a real person.
Oh,
that's not what I meant. It's more just like. But if anyone who's listening to this has ever met him in person, you know, he's a very sedate, subdued sort of guy.
Yeah.
He's not the sort of, like, woo crazy, like, all right, furry yiff yaff. Like, he's not that kind of
I would girl. Love to hear him say
no,
that.
No, he's strictly being fairly, not prim and proper, but very well-spoken. Gathered.
I'm the voice for his loud mouth.
Really?
You'd so. Never have guessed.
So, yes.
Surprise.
Spoilers, now that the 2 hours is up.
Yeah, we're actually nearing 2 hours at this point.
That's fine. This is actually a big topic that, you know...
I'm sure you could do, like, many more hours about it, too.
If we had not read any of the off-topic emails, we could still get the same length of episode.
Probably, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have gotten to talk about weird Chinese furries that don't exist, apparently.
I know...
Theoretical Chinese furries.
I like
Schrödinger's Chinese furries.
They may or may not exist.
I like that some cons are starting to implement podcasting panels into their
entertainment tracks. Rainforest is big on podcasts.
It's like we're legitimate, you know, aspects of the fandom. What do you know?
If you are a con goer to furry conventions and they're doing a podcast panel, and you're interested in starting up a podcast, I would definitely recommend sitting in on one of those. Usually done by people that have done podcasts and maybe know what they're doing, and just pick up some tips for that. And also just Google, you know, how to podcast, basically. There are actually some pretty good guides out there on it.
I'd say if we could do a panel at MFM or Furry Fiesta at some point. L2 Podcast.
Yeah. How do podcasts...
Yeah, how do they work? But, like one thing to remember, any, like, schmuck or group of schmucks can sit in front of microphones and talk, but it takes some actual work to, like, say anything that other people are going to want to bother to listen to.
And hopefully people have made it this far in the episode and heard that.
I hope people want to listen to me. Well, people wanted to listen to podcasts probably fast-forwarded to this part.
Oh, well.
I know.
It's like, are they still reading this, like, weird made-up email about femdom spanking?
Oh, no.
I know there's one listener.
I don't mean to be a douche.
I know there's at least one listener that listens to the show at a higher rate of speed so that he can listen to it faster.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, too.
Good, because I don't. Because I met him, like, once at a con, and I don't remember who it was.
I want to like you.
Is that, like... That was...
They want to make it sound like chipmunk.
You can actually increase the speed slightly without sounding too chipmunky.
Like, I was going to say, it would be like a fuzzle for the chipmunk.
I was actually fiddling about a little bit with a test file that Tieran and I did when I set up the new podcasting rig. And I played around with tempo and BPM a little bit and sped it up. And it is an interesting effect.
Yeah, he listens to so many podcasts. He's just like, if I listened to them all at normal speed, I would never be able to keep up.
Awesome.
Okay.
Cool. So, do we want to cover anything else? Do we need to cover anything else?
I think we have talked this subject into this week's ground. The second segment is like an hour 15. The first segment's like an hour, so we're actually going to break the 2 hour mark for like the first time in a very long time.
I was going to say, we don't usually make it that long anymore.
But Cam, you were here and you helped us be full of words.
That's what I get paid to do.
Full of other stuff, but you know.
Yeah. Words is my craft, what can I say?
So do you want to close that out then, and we'll see you guys next week?
Okay. On that note, good night.
And big balls.
And slippery things.
Slippery big balls.
Yes. Ooh.
Yeah, slippery.